I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Big Show Year-End Spectacular.
Remembering the high points
and low points of 2020.
Last night, part one of the GOAT competition, the greatest of all time. On Jeopardy, last night, Ken Jennings had a combined total of 63,400 points over two separate games. Right behind him, my guy from Vegas, James Holzhauer, and I felt bad for that poor Brad Rutter. I'm telling you, he was a mess last night.
Deer without a headlight.
Yeah.
Or in the headlight.
Yeah, there you go.
How many deers have headlights?
Is that the deer or you? In the
it's
headlight.
Me. The deer without a headlight. I love that.
Oh, my God. You know what? You're really good at traffic.
Thank you.
Really good at traffic.
And maybe I should do some right now.
It's actually funny. I like it.
That guy, Brad Rutter, what did he have?
He didn't have a headlight.
He's like more than 50,000 points behind.
Oh, well.
He's like a deer in the headlight. Here she
see,
is.
See, but that's correct.
Here she is.
Less funny.
Sue Aller on.
Gotta say it the Sue way.
Traffic time. Hit it. You can sit up. I got a quick little game here. Good idea or bad idea?
Oh, this will be interesting.
You ready, Patty?
Of course.
Yeah, you're ready. Fran Drescher's sitcom, The Nanny, is going to be a Broadway musical. I think you know how I feel about this. Patty, bad idea or good idea?
Annoying idea.
Brad?
Look.
The Nanny on Broadway, a musical.
No, I'm going to go good idea. Good. I'm going to be positive on this.
Well, the show.
Why do you choose this to be positive on?
The show ran 146 episodes. All right, Sue.
Great idea. I love the show.
I can't see.
You know what? I loved it for the 22 minutes we would see it once a week when it ran. I don't think I could sit through 2.5-3 hours of it.
They probably won't use her irritating voice.
Oh, well, of course they will. That's the whole point of
that's
it.
That's the show, Scott.
That's the show. That's the only thing anybody remembers of the show.
How about this one? An ABC primetime musical. Young Frankenstein. That's one of those live ones.
That is so cast dependent.
First time they did it, it was really good. And then it kind of went downhill from there.
They've had some other good ones, but that show in particular, so cast dependent, I don't know.
Brad?
Bad idea. Jump the shark on the live musicals on television. There you go.
Bad.
Live. I'm going to go good idea.
Really?
Why?
Because,
he's a closet Frankenstein fan.
Yeah, I'm a big Mel Brooks fan. He's producing the things.
Christmas!
The big show is on.
Thank you.
With the 2020 year-end spectacular. The best.
The best.
And the worst of 2020.
Doolittle, reviewed by our friend. I'm talking about our junior movie reviewer. Harvey Blanks was there watching it. Let's see what he's got to say.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Patty. Hi, guys. Doolittle. I've never seen Robert Downey Jr. play anyone else. I've only ever seen him fly around in the sky with Captain America and kiss Gwyneth Paltrow. Rest in peace, Iron Man. So, the big thing about this movie is Dr. Doolittle can talk to animals. Polar bears, parrots, ostriches, squirrels, pretty much all the animals. This movie has adventure, excitement, and some really funny moments. For all the parents that buy the popcorn, I think you'll like this too. It's a great movie for kids to be inspired by animals and have the thought that they could talk to animals one day. Scott, I know you will love this movie because I know you're a big animal lover. I give it 4.5 stars out of 5 stars. Wow. I thought it was really good. Bye, guys.
How about that?
Yeah. Ah,
he's come a long way.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Under the careful tutelage of his mother.
I thought I was going to get a couple of it then.
No, no. Well, a man that toasts a bagel, I think not. Yeah.
Brad's got a problem that Harvey now wants to start reviewing adult movies. Not like sex movies.
What?
Adult, you know what I'm saying? Grown-up
like
movies.
Like grown-up movies.
Calm down,
like
Brad.
I love that line.
What has he been watching with you at home?
My wife, Juliet, brought it up, and she said, oh, maybe he could go see 1917. You know, it's a historical movie.
Bloody.
Yeah, and I've... Oh,
yeah, he's young. He's a baby.
Is it intensely bloody? I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's pretty bloody.
Yeah, is it?
That's war, Patty.
Okay, so put your hand over his face whenever it gets bloody.
Great.
Don't look at that.
I'll tell you what. He asked me what I thought about it this morning. I said, you can't do that. Those are things that live on, like the boogeyman under your bed. If your mom tells you...
You don't get past the trauma of it at a certain age.
You can't get past the boogeyman
under
the bed.
He's 9, right?
I remember...
10.
Plus, you can't trust them, see? I remember when Kathleen was like, I don't know, 5 or 6, she wanted to see E.T.
Yeah.
So I had a bootleg video of it, and I put it on for her. She lasted till E.T. came out of the cornfield.
Yeah.
And she screamed and ran out of the room. And she never finished the movie till she's about 13.
Yeah, so I showed my kids Kindergarten Cop because I thought,
that sounds like a good movie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was all about sex. Every scene was about sex. They had like one scene in the movie with kindergartners, and that was it. And that just totally destroyed my children for life.
That's what happened to that crew.
Yeah.
My kids were watching Jurassic Park when they were really young, and they loved it.
If you can hear some of the tales that I hear every morning from her about her kids, it's amazing they're still running around.
It all came down to that movie.
And you can blame kindergarten.
Danny DeVito. That little
Max
bald
everywhere.
Danny had to leave the room.
That little bald guy just doing his thing.
Danny, you all right?
Nose rings and they stay out.
They got nose rings and you trusted them to do things early on, but they miraculously they turned out all right.
Somehow they're still alive.
Not because of you.
Wow.
At CBS FM, and now Patty's got to put on her
on some other kind of face.
Her muzzle face.
So do you my muzzle. What am I, a dog?
Earlier we were talking about the dilemma that Brad finds himself in. He has this buddy of his from Australia. He's a professional basketball player. He's about 6'10", and he plays for the Philadelphia 76ers. And Brad knows him through other family members.
That's right. Yeah, I'm very close with his sister.
But he made the big mistake of introducing Harvey to Ben Simmons. And now when they go to the games, Ben goes, hey, Brad, where's Harvey?
Yeah. I actually don't think he knows my name. Yeah, well, I think he's all Harvey. He chats there. They talk about video games. And he's closer in age to Harvey, I guess. Like, which is kind of weird.
How old is he?
He's 21, 22.
That's so funny. He's only 10 years, 11 years.
That's right. Harvey's 10. Yeah, they get along really well. I try to be cool and chime in. Like, I'm the dad chiming in.
Yeah. I noticed in all the pictures, you're kind of standing over to the side camera.
Yeah, yeah. We have one great photo of Harvey and Ben Simmons, and in the background is Kendall Jenner.
Standing
there against the wall.
Right. I've heard they're back together.
Yeah, that's what I
That's
see.
Not something I have to keep up with all the time, but somebody told me that.
Right.
I go, that's great news.
Yeah, and he's in great form, which is great. He's trying to make the NBA All-Star team, so If you like Ben Simmons, even though we're in New York, vote for him.
Or Kendall Jenner.
Yeah, yeah, tell Kendall Jenner. If you want to see her at the All-Star game.
Oh, hi, Brad.
With Harvey.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Brad. No tickets for Dad.
Brad, where's Harvey? Tell him I'm over here, will you?
Yeah. It's the Big Show year-end spectacular flashback.
There's the story of Yaroslav Suris.
Oh.
He's suing Pornhub.
Oh, wow. Why?
Oh, no.
He says they're violating the American Disabilities Act by not having subtitles on their X-rated videos. Yaroslav is a deaf man. He says he bought their premium subscription hoping he could get videos with subtitles. He wants damages and Pornhub to add closed captioning to its porno videos.
Huh.
I don't think he's going to get very far with that. That's my guess.
Using a lot of M's.
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, really, how important are the words? I don't know.
I don't get it.
What do you guys think, Brad?
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, in mine, there'd be a lot of whoops. Yeah.
Crikey.
Oh, sorry, Ben.
Sorry, baby.
Tears.
So sorry.
At your CBS FM, while Brad laughs at his own joke. Here's, that's a funny joke, right, Brad?
Yeah.
You know, I was telling Patty this morning that I said, you use Waze. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why? Because I've had a little problem there because there's another town near me has the same address that I have.
Oh. So people looking for Scott Shannon are going to somebody else's house?
Yeah. And I don't know who to call. There's not a number for Waze.
Yeah.
But maybe you heard that. Weren't the Pinelands where they used to drop the bodies off in the Sopranos, Brad?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You bet.
Well, people on the way to the Borgata in Atlantic City wound up far away in the Pinelands.
Oh, my gosh.
70 miles away. Jackson Police Department says it just keeps happening. You know, I couldn't figure out why. That's because the Waze navigation app guides them there. So they posted a warning on the Jackson Police Facebook page.
But wouldn't you think as soon as you start driving on sand, you know you're not
driving into rivers.
See, I have a problem with Waze because they send people down my quiet block to get to the main roadway where the block after me is like the thoroughfare block.
Yeah.
Right.
So I get very angry and I just keep hitting disabled vehicle police on my block as soon as I get home.
Oh, jeez.
To try to deter people.
So you're lying to people that are driving.
I am because it's annoying.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
That's why I don't
use
Waze.
That's a story you might have kept to yourself.
Yeah, I know.
You never let me down.
She's a traffic person misleading drivers.
I have become that lady, though. That lady who gets out of the car and screams
at
people.
I didn't know it was going to wind up in a big crash.
Nobody crashes.
I'm not talking about that. Never mind.
Well, the Russian's still there, though, Scott. The Russian from The Sopranos. He's still in the Pine Barrens somewhere. That's where he's lost when he got away from Paulie.
I think I found my first candidate for this week's DA of the Day.
It's Sue.
Is it me?
Sue, you're in the running. I don't know where I heard this, but somebody was telling me that I had a girlfriend from Florida. And every time they were talking, because a lot of people were watching that that impeachment thing.
Yeah.
And that impeachment thing. The show. It's on everywhere.
The show.
I think it's on in the background. They said they had the ratings aren't that good. Yeah. I think you had like total of all the networks, they had like 1.5 million people watching.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But people in Florida are more interested in those iguanas.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
That's what my friend said. Of course, she didn't even mention the impeachment. She said, you're watching the impeachment? No, I got to stay up on top of the iguanas.
Yeah.
Because it's so cold there that they pass out.
And fall out of the trees.
Yeah, because they can't hang on. That's where they sleep.
I know that feeling.
And a friend of my wife's, a lady named Jenna, she works for Wells Fargo. She had to go to a meeting in Miami. She parked her car on the street, fed the meter, was going into the building, and an iguana fell out of a tree on her head.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand that. They're in the trees in downtown Miami?
I guess, yeah.
Phew.
She said she saw stars, almost passed out.
It's can imagine.
Such a big animal, mammal.
Yeah, they can. They're not mammals.
They're not mammals?
Reptiles.
Reptiles.
Yeah, but they are... They can be enormous. She's lucky it wasn't anything even bigger. Could have knocked her head off.
When I'm playing golf in Florida, you see them a lot. Yeah. They look like baby alligators when you first see them from a distance.
Mm-hmm. They're more colorful, though.
They're very
pretty, exotic-looking animals, but man.
They don't bother you, do they, unless they fall on you?
No. I mean, obviously, it's like anything else. If they feel threatened by you, they might bother you.
Right.
They can bite.
I told you they bit that guy's thumb off.
Yeah, exactly.
Down in PR.
Right.
Yeah. I was trying to take a picture of one, holding him by the tail.
Boop.
Goodbye, thumb.
Bye. Yeesh.
Hey, Louie.
Yeah.
I know you kind of have your own little jingle when we do the movie.
Yeah.
But I thought it was time to freshen things up a little bit.
Oh, boy.
So we got a new one for you.
Oh, no. I'm going to miss that.
What do you mean you got? Well, I don't
you
know.
You haven't heard the new one.
We may use them both. Let's see if you like this one.
Boy.
I'm at St. Patrick's Cathedral.
That's what I was thinking.
All be seated now.
Louis was a wonderful man.
Service is about to begin.
We loved him.
All right, it's done everything.
Yeah, I like my mystery clown weird guy. Here's today's.
You like the other one better,
that
huh?
That sounds like somebody's going to do a eulogy next.
Louie. In memory of Louie.
Exactly.
He was a kind man.
He fell off his tricycle.
He got hit by the iguana.
He won Best New Producer.
And then he'll never hurt him again.
Louie who?
His pet iguana jumped on his head. That was it.
Christmas! The big show is on. With the 2020 year-end spectacular, the best, and the worst of 2020.
I don't know if you heard about it or not, but they auctioned off Frank Sinatra's toilets.
Oh, right. Toilets?
Toilet.
Thank goodness. They were gold.
Remember they used to say you can sleep in Abraham Lincoln's bed, or this is where Frank Sinatra sat.
Quite often.
Three gold toilets from the chairman's suite at the Golden Nugget Hotel in Atlantic City. They went for more than $11,000. How about this? Jorge Fitzgibbon, he's the writer for the Post. He says, the assortment was also flush with furniture, lamps, and artwork. It's spreading, John.
You've started a trend.
It's catching on.
Well, I don't know how you do it, Scott, because today, look it up, is Thomas Crapper Day. So you... No, it really is.
I believe you.
Yeah, well, he's the inventor.
This is the day that Thomas Crapper died.
Uh-huh.
He did not invent the toilet.
Why does he get credit for it, then?
Because he perfected the toilet with the invention of the ball cock.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, be careful in that area.
Well, but that's the thing. If you lift up the tank and look inside, that's
right. I know where it is.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're just trying to explain for folks who weren't... What did he say? Huh?
The fourth Sinatra toilet, which had the gold lid missing, somebody swiped it, sold for $1,800.
Wow.
Louis, were you considering going in on that bidding?
I didn't know they were on sale. I would have.
You would have gone for it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, my understanding was the most expensive thing was a clock that apparently was spectacular. Very gaudy, but it was jewel encrusted, too, which sold for more than the toilets, I think.
He had a baby grand piano, went for $7,000, and the clock, which is one of those, I think, big long clocks.
Yeah.
Grandfather clock?
Nah, it says long case. Maybe that was the guy's name.
Not as big as a grandfather.
No, it wasn't the guy's.
Sold for $13,000.
Wow.
All this stuff from that suite there.
But those aren't conversation starters. You say, I got Sinatra's toilet in my house. People are going to talk about
it. They want to use the bathroom. So
let me check it out.
I got to go.
Okay.
Hang on for bowling trivia. Haven't had that in a while on the big show. Can't go around ignoring a major part of the audience.
Yeah. Okay.
For tickets. Oh, just because you don't bowl, you don't
know. No, I do sometimes.
Oh, you do? Then.
I was most improved bowler in my senior year of high school.
Wow.
Oh, my.
I went from a 46 to an 82.
Can you bring that trophy in?
I probably could, actually. It's probably the only trophy I have.
I put that in the studio in here.
Okay.
It's funny. I used to cook a lot when I was a single man.
Right.
I enjoyed cooking. Don't get,
I love that
don't
about
judge
you.
Me.
I believe me, I am not judging you.
I see
you.
The way you're looking at me. crock pot specialist. What was that you had? You almost burned the house down?
The Instapot. You forgot to put the liner in, right?
I forgot to put the pot in the Instapot.
Into the pot. Well, so Trish was out running around shopping. Or I don't know what she does when she goes out, but she was doing something.
Don't ask.
So, and it was getting kind of late, so I decided I was going to make dinner.
Right.
And at the same time, I made a batch of oatmeal because I bring oatmeal into the station.
Right.
Instead of carrot cake for breakfast now, I have oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
so
that
you
might...
make that yourself. You're not just making instant oatmeal. You make a pot.
No, it's got too much salt in it.
Look at you go. Yeah.
So
love
I throw
that.
Some raisins in there and cinnamon. I make it very good. So I got that going on. And then I'm making some asparagus. So I chop up the asparagus and I put it in a skillet to saute it just a little bit.
Right.
And I don't like hard asparagus. So.
Right.
But I overcooked that, and it had a nice...
Yeah, then it gets army green and mushy.
Nice, well, mine got dark brown.
Oh!
You burned them.
And then on top of that, the oatmeal started exploding.
Oh, no.
It knocked the top off the pot, and it comes all over.
Were you at Sue's house?
Yeah.
It was a rough evening.
That was before you went bowling? I'm kind of lost on all this.
No, bowling's coming up.
Wait,
stand
do you broil your asparagus or boil it?
Well, I did both. I fried it. Then I put it in a pan. I put some cheese on it. I put that in the oven.
I
burnt the cheese,
oh,
too.
Oh, so you sautéed it. Then you cooked it in the oven. Then you...
And Trish comes in and says, what happened in the kitchen? She says, oh, my. I say, why don't you help me? She says, no, you're on your own.
You're on your own for this one.
You got it all. And then,
cheese fixes everything, though.
And
really...
the stove is just a mess because all the oatmeal flew over the top.
Oh, my gosh.
I always tell my husband, that's what stoves are for. You don't want them to look pristine. That's not real.
Believe me, our stove does not look pristine today. Brad Blanks is right there where the action is, floating around Miami. I'll see how he sounds today because, you know, he jumped off the dry January wagon a little bit early.
Yeah.
Scott, Patty, how are you, Sue?
Hey.
Yes, the voice is a little bit scratchy. I was telling war stories in that prime steakhouse last night at about 1 a.m. I was at the bar next to Archie Manning.
Wow.
So, it was pretty cool. It was good.
Eli's dad.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
Archie Manning's got a bar there?
No, he's
no, he was at the bar.
Oh, at the bar.
Big difference.
Yeah, you know, he didn't own a bar. He was using a bar.
I've been at bars. I don't own a bar.
I got you.
It's the Big Show Year-End Spectacular. Remembering the high points and low points of 2020.
Here's the story. Recently, we had a celebrity guest on the show, a man by the name of Terry Bradshaw. You see him on Fox. He does all, you know, the NFL football scoreboard and all that. And back in early December, he was on this show. He was promoting a show he was doing at the Borgata in Atlantic City.
And you attacked him.
And no, that wasn't it. He misinterpreted some of the host's comments.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So are you going to do a little bit about face
here? He misinterpreted some of the comments from people on the show.
Uh-huh, you.
This is how it went. This is the highlights of the call.
You need to come, Scott, because you are a doubter. When you come to this show, I'm going to tell you, you will leave. My wife is sitting right here. She'll tell you. Will he leave going crazy? Oh, my God. What a show.
What the heck was it you had all over your body?
Shingles.
Yeah, you're going to show him your shingles?
Yeah, that's great, Scott.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
I'm just wondering, Terry. Now, one more thing.
God. Yeah.
You made a lot of money on that, didn't you? You did a commercial.
Shingles?
Yeah.
No, I didn't make a lot of money. You ever heard of doing things because you just believe in them?
No.
I'm not like you, Scott. I'm not about money.
Right. Oh, my God.
The Terry Bradshaw Show, Borgata Hotel Casino in Atlantic City, Friday night. And they're actually charging for the tickets, right?
I don't like this guy, honey.
I'll be watching you for Fox NFL. I watch every week. Yeah. You're the best.
Are you coming to the show?
You couldn't pay me enough to sit there and listen.
Oh, come on. Oh, that's going to be amazing.
I'm kidding you. It's going to be great.
Honey, he said, but we couldn't pay him enough for him to come to the show. Man, who set this interview up?
Terry, I'll see you soon. Come on by.
I'm supposed to be getting praised here.
Come on by and see you soon, will you?
I will.
See you, Terry. We love you, buddy. He knows I was kidding.
I don't know.
He does. Look at Louis. Louis says he'll never come on again.
Way to go.
Well, as you can clearly see, my comments were obviously
perfectly interpreted by him.
Obviously interpreted in a negative fashion. I happen to know that Terry Bradshaw is floating around in the all the festivities there in Miami. So yesterday I gave Brad an assignment, track him down and find out, A, if he still remembers that, B, and be sure and let him know that I was misinterpreted.
Well, you kind of wanted the fences mended, didn't you?
Yes, that's what I wanted. I wanted some asphalt in the big pothole.
You being the pothole.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott, I can't just find Terry Bradshaw. Like, well, arguably the biggest star down here in Miami leading into the weekend. People love him. And he's the guy that's actually handing the trophy to the winning coach.
So wow.
It's like, probably not good business for us to upset him.
No, that's right. So, look, I'm in Radio Row, and you know, I'm getting interviews with people I don't even know who they are, and I'm thinking the whole time, Scott only wants one person.
That's all I want. Bradshaw. I don't care about any of the other people.
That's right. So I had to wait and wait, and I found him, and I followed him for like 2 hours. I followed him around Radio Row.
2 hours? Why did you just go up to him?
Yeah. And
so you found him.
I found him on an escalator. So when he couldn't get away from me. He doesn't move real quick anymore. So
he's got bad knees, and he's got that thing on his chest.
Okay, let's not attack him some more.
So I said, I got to find Terry Bradshaw. And I'm scared if he knows that I'm from your show or not, because I am scared of what you said to him last time.
You interviewed him on an escalator.
That's correct, yes.
Now, let's see what transpired.
Terry, how are you?
How are you, sir?
I'm just fine, just fine. Thank you so much for asking.
First, I've got to say congratulations on the reality show.
That'll be interesting.
Filmed any of that yet?
We start filming in 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How's the missus going to handle it?
She's a little nervous. Right. The girls are excited. The girls think they're going to be the Kardashians of the South. So, therefore, they're going to have Mercedes-Benz. They're going to have a perfume line, agents, hairdressers. Yeah. They're all fired up.
Will your pigeons be in it?
No. I got rid of them a long time ago.
Gotcha.
Well, you were in a drug stupor when I told you I got rid of them.
Now, my boss, Scott Shannon, come to mend the fences between you and him from that phone call. Remember you were performing at the Borgata?
Yes. Yes. Oh, that was fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wants to apologize that he thought he might have been me.
You know, I didn't know. He was so sarcastic. It was funny. But people were listening, and they were not happy. And I just said, well, I don't know why he did that. Maybe he thought he had to fire off at me first, because I'd fire back. But he was so rough, it got comical.
You actually yelled to your wife.
I did. You believe what this guy's saying? Oh, Scott, there are no fences to men. I thought you were hilarious. I got it. And the only thing that hurt me was I wanted you to come to the show with your family. You didn't want to come, so he said you wouldn't come.
You didn't pay me enough.
How many tickets I gave you? That's too dang funny, man.
And I think Shingles got a mention as well.
Oh, yeah, Shingles, absolutely.
All right, good. Well, Terry, good luck on Sunday. Are you handing the trophy?
I am.
Yep.
I am.
Glad I feel like I'm the peacemaker.
You are the peacemaker.
Yeah, Scott Shannon and Terry
Peacemaker. Peacemaker.
Wow.
Brad, good job, my friend.
I'm not sure he's over it, Scott.
Yeah, I think he is.
Okay.
Wherever he wants me to go next time, I got to go.
All right.
Oh, it's unbelievable. How's when his brain clicks and he remembers you?
I heard the exact moment when it clicked.
Right.
The light went off.
Scott, that's when we got to the bottom of the escalator.
Yeah. See, I thought you did that because you knew him from the past.
No, I've interviewed him before.
Yeah, but you knew you weren't like buddy, but you went ahead with the attack.
Wasn't an attack, Patty. And didn't somebody come by while you guys were talking?
Yeah, we're going down the escalators and Katie Couric's coming up on the escalator next to us.
Wow.
And she goes, oh, Terry, how are you, Terry? Oh, how are you? I love you, Terry. I nearly told her to get nicked. I was trying to do my intense interview with Terry Bradshaw. Yeah, but it was wonderful to get him at the bottom. And I think deep down, he still loves you.
All right, Bradley. Good job, my friend.
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
All nice job.
Today's mystery movie.
Can't write no way.
All right, let's do it again. Ready? And action.
All right, now action. I'm ready. Go, John.
You saw your army destroyed and yourself dead. If you saw that in the future, as I'm sure you're seeing it now, would you continue to fight?
Of course, yes.
Knowing that you must lose.
Knowing we can. All men lose when they die, and all men die. But a slave and a free man lose different things.
They both lose life.
When a free man dies, he loses the pleasure of life. A slave loses the pain, you fool.
That's an ad-lib.
Death is the only freedom a slave knows. That's why he's not afraid of it. That's why we will win.
Wow. What is that accent?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. No, that's amazing.
That was Oscar. Yeah.
That sounded just like him.
Yeah, I know. It's Oscar worthy. I was amazed.
I apologize for the visual of the video on this because Dino kept getting his big fat head in it.
Well,
he blocked your big role.
I know. I've been practicing too. But that's all right.
Really?
What movie was the clue from? All right. And by the way.
Wow, is that a letdown? What movie is the clue from?
No, I didn't ask that. What movie did the clue come from?
Oh, is that what you said?
Something like that. Let's hear it for John Elliott.
Oh, jeez.
Great. Excellent.
The two of you.
Yeah.
Powerful.
John's got real quiet over there.
Yeah,
no, I'm just wondering. I just got a call from the Paper Mill Playhouse. They'd like us there this weekend. Also, there's a Denny's up in New Rochelle would love us there. So,
Paper
I mean,
Mill's
we've got a
tickets.
Lot of opportunities.
Yes, you fool!
Now I'm in. I could probably do the whole show like that today.
Oh, no.
Now, Louie has come up with this live version, and it seems to be working pretty well. Today, who's involved today, Louie?
We're bringing back our strongest team of Patty Steele and Brad Blanks.
I think we had a lot of strong teams here.
Yeah.
No. You guys are the champions.
You're
so
my competition.
If you can decipher what they're doing, you could win tickets to see Bon Jovi.
Today's mystery movie.
I love you, Jack.
No. Don't you say your goodbyes, Rose. Don't you give up. Don't do it.
I'm so cold. I can't feel my body.
Rose.
Did you feel my body?
Listen to me. Winning that ticket.
Don't
was,
feel her body.
Was the best thing that ever happened to me. You must do this honor.
You're skipping lines.
Promise me. You will survive, no matter what happens, no matter how much shrinkage I have. Promise me now, and never let go of that promise.
Leo never said that.
There's nothing to hang on to.
Never let go.
I promise, I promise. I'll never let go, Jack. I'll try not to. I'll never let go. Get off my float.
Oh my goodness.
And now,
for the most impactful moment,
Louie takes us home.
Step to the microphone, Louie.
Come on. Give
Louis
us the
Dion.
Ending. I need the ending.
Just the ending? You don't want me to start
no,
from the beginning?
No, do the whole
start
thing.
Start the beginning. And today's production.
Every night in my dreams, I see you. I feel you. I forgot the words. Brad. Now you go on.
Brad has more shrinkage.
Once don't you love it?
No.
You open the door and you're safe in my heart and my heart will go on.
Bam, bam, bam.
And on.
Oh, the microphone went off. I don't understand.
I'll see you on the 28th, Celine Barclay Center.
Woo! Yeah!
Hello, CBS FM.
Oh, they couldn't take it anymore.
They were there when he started singing. Hi, CBS FM.
Good morning.
What's your name?
Paul.
Paul, what movie were they doing?
Titanic!
Titanic!
Yeah! Oh,
I don't know how you
acting.
Did that!
That's right.
They butchered it up pretty good, but you still managed to decipher it, right?
It was word for word.
Oh, yeah.
No, it wasn't word for word. You both screwed it up. And all kinds of words.
Shrinkage?
Way to go, man.
Cold.
Yeah, Leo didn't ever say I got shrinkage.
He did? No, I think he did. I think he did say that.
You got tickets to see Bon Jovi. Way to go, man. You nailed it.
All right.
Christmas. The big show is on. With the 2020 year-end spectacular. The best. And the worst of 2020.
Jimmy Kimmel is joking about the bachelor's mother begging him to bring home one of the girls to him.
Peter's mother provided what, I don't know where this came from, but this might be the most dramatic teaser moment in Bachelor history.
Don't let her go.
My God!
What are they going to do?
We need her life force, Peter. Bring mommy an offering.
It was so good last night.
That is not good. That's bizarre. That's
bizarre.
I have never said to my son, bring her home.
Oh my God! Oh, Will,
sons. They
Will,
like,
bring her home.
My God!
And Will goes, which one, Mom?
I'm embarrassed for all mothers of sons.
Oh. There's Patty. There's Patty talking to Will.
We're home. We're home.
We're on the virgin.
My God! What are they going to do, eat her?
Exactly.
Holy cow.
And he's a big Bachelor fan, so he says that. We know we're on the right track.
So clearly Sue made the right choice.
Exactly.
Though, right?
Yes.
What, to watch The Bachelor? Yes. I think you should go back to The Voice.
No.
But that actually was pretty, it was pretty,
pretty bizarre.
Emotional. Yes. And amazing to watch.
Now, when you watch that, you don't get emotional about it.
No, but it's emotional for them, and you're like,
her.
Wow, what's going on there?
I know people that cannot explain why they watch that show, but they can't not watch it.
Yeah, it's an
Are
addiction.
They people that live in your house?
I sleep with one occasionally.
Yes, I think so.
Occasionally.
Brad Blanks just got back from Saudi Arabia. He was there. He was the guest of the government there.
Yeah, and the Saudi Cup. The horse
the
race.
Saudi Cup.
$20 million prize.
Yeah, man, I didn't get any of that. But I stood next to the winners of it.
You stood next to $20 million.
Right. He actually had his own guide, an employee of the government there, and he showed you around, went with you everywhere?
That's right, yeah. Had a handler. Yeah.
So Brad asked a question. He says, how many other media people from America have you worked with? And he was expecting a long line of... What did he say?
He goes, we've only had two. We've had Nora O'Donnell from CBS and you, Brad Blanks.
Rarified company.
Wow. You forgot the accent.
I love it.
It's pretty amazing.
It was. Yeah, he goes, me and Nora, very good friends now. Nora, yeah.
How about that? So they've confused you with a real media
Yeah.
Mogul.
I met a lot of princes, and I got introduced to a lot of princes. And I actually interviewed the Minister of Sport.
Did you really?
Interview. Yes. I said, is this kind of like the Kevin Costner movie? If you build it, they will come. Field of Dreams. And he didn't get that joke. And
no,
he has no idea what you're talking about.
Then I asked him if I could come over and be a part of their camel racing. And he said, you would be too big. Too big.
You too poor big. Camels. Yes.
Nora O'Donnell was fine. You too big.
Too big.
Or however they speak. I think I'm in Japan.
You have the same accent for everybody.
That's
it's okay.
That's what I always do. Big show Friday night. Louis' dream actually came true. And you said it was better than you thought it would be?
I couldn't even imagine what it was going to be like, and it was better than that.
He'd never been to it before.
It's so weird, though. I mean, if you go to a lot of rock and roll concerts,
right,
and you see how people act,
yeah,
you know, I mean, if you see like the Stones or, you know, Police or whatever,
yeah, right,
whatever your cup of tea, you see people, you know, jumping up and down and shouting,
screaming things.
Celine Dion is singing a ballad, beautiful ballad with a full orchestra,
right?
And the people are out there waving and singing along.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing. Now you said you spotted Louis.
Yeah. He posted a video.
How did you spot me? So many people in that arena.
Well, yeah. Did you take the video?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Selena in her red dress. And
Celine, not Selena.
Celine in her red dress.
Yeah.
And then this happened.
I love you, Celine. I love you.
That
was not me.
That was so you.
That was
Put
not
that
me.
Microphone down there closer
sorry,
to the speaker.
Me.
Okay, wait a second.
Run that one more time. Okay, that's wait. Him.
Wasn't
no,
me.
No doubt.
Yeah.
You got it?
What?
Nothing. Never mind.
Never
I should,
mind. Thank goodness.
I should know better than that by now.
I got it once. But that's all I'm good for.
I really thought you had great seats because he videoed the whole thing.
Right on the side of the
right
stage.
There.
And she had that red dress on. She wearing that thing out.
She looked at me 3 times.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Did she do any of the stuff that she did in her Vegas shows, like all the stuff hanging from the ceiling and swinging? And
No, none of that.
It was pretty tame in terms of movement.
She was all over the place.
Yeah, but she wasn't
hanging from the ceiling.
She really like owns the stage.
Yeah.
It's amazing because when I saw her, the stage was so ginormous. I thought, there's this little person there. But she was every inch of that stage.
It was a very large stage. That's why I had close seats, because on the right side, it came all the way out.
But the problem was you had good shots of her rear end most of the time.
What there is of it. She's extremely slender.
Yeah.
Not much of a butt.
I don't know what you're talking about.
She turned sideways. She weighs about, 109 pounds, something like that?
Oh, and the show was so good, I got myself a tote bag.
Oh, my gosh.
So now I could carry my groceries in a Celine Dion Courage.
Oh, but that's a very manly looking bag for a Celine Dion.
No, it's not. What
yes,
are you
it is. It's
about?
Black with white letters
it's
and a little
Celine
red.
It's a Celine Dion tote
Okay,
bag,
don't
Patty.
Read it, and it looks manly.
Put my oatmeal in there.
It's not glittery.
There's no
it
such thing
glitter.
As
Wait,
a
turn that
manly
on.
Looking.
It says Courage on it.
You're right.
Hey, I'm trying to help the environment. Like
John, do you have one of those Celine Dion tote bags?
I cherish my Edie Gourmet panty pack.
I can't believe it. That is amazing.
It's the Big Show Year-End Spectacular. Playing back the highlights and lowlights of 2020.
How about this guy from Ohio? What's he giving up for Lent? Everything but beer.
Oh, my.
Guy by the name of Del Hall made headlines last year when he lost 44 pounds in 46 days on his beer-only diet.
What?
Yep. Only beer, no
How's
solid
he get
food.
His protein?
I don't know.
Who needs protein?
That's crazy.
He's going to set the all-time record for Guinness World Records. How about this?
He says, not doing it in Saudi Arabia.
I see Brad's gears turning.
Yeah, that's right.
He says, this is a
good
sign
diet.
Of sheer willpower. I got to prove it to myself that I can do it.
Willpower?
He's going to go 50 days.
Ooh, that doesn't sound healthy.
On the beer diet.
Ooh.
Oh, there's...
Well, you've got hops. That's your vegetable.
Yes,
not
barley.
Not a very good vegetable, Patty.
I know.
How about that, Brad?
That's crazy. No, what a diet for him.
Well, he won't be dehydrated.
He lost 44 pounds.
in 46 days. Now, that by itself is not that healthy.
Yeah.
But he's still alive.
Oh, I reckon he could die from this, couldn't he?
It would seem that it wouldn't be a good idea.
No.
Do you think he's got a doctor involved in this?
Doubt it. Nope. What doctor would put his name on that?
Yeah. Dr. Brad.
Dr. Corona.
We were talking about what about Placido Domingo? How about that guy? He came out with a statement Thursday before last.
Mm-hmm. What's Placido doing?
Well, he's had numerous women, I think it's like 27, maybe 37,
ooh,
accuse him of sexual misconduct.
Right.
So he came out with the statement was last Tuesday, the first mm-hmm. statement.
Right.
And he said, I don't, I've never done anything like this, but I apologize if anybody was offended. And then
I apologize for something I never did.
Well, I've seen that happen before.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But then he came out on Thursday with a new statement.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I accept full responsibility for my actions, and I've grown from this experience.
In 2 days.
Did he sing his statement?
Mr.
Domingo.
Right.
That would soothe.
Mr. Domingo's spokeswoman, Nancy Seltzer, offered no comment on reconciling the two statements.
Well, that's not much of a spokesperson if you offer no comment. You're not speaking.
Well, there's not much you can say that makes any sense, Patty. Not much anything.
But I'll be speaking for him. I have nothing to say.
I plead the fifth.
And you can quote me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you can quote me on that. I've got none to say. As we mentioned earlier, the famous James Lipton passed away. Got his start in radio, but he became an actor, acting teacher, screenwriter, and he was the guy who made Inside the Actor's Studio. He passed away at 93. Now, Brad Blanks, our connection to the superstars.
To everybody.
Of the world.
He's talked to everyone.
You actually found him back in what year?
Yeah, but I'd interview James Lipton probably 3 or 4 times a year for all the time. He's always at red carpets. He's a film student still as much as a teacher. So, and he always loved Bradley Cooper.
Right.
So as Bradley Cooper was becoming a superstar through the Hangover movies, James would go to his red carpets and was very proud.
Oh, he said this was his favorite interview.
And this interview was at the Hangover 2 premiere in 2011.
All right.
Hello, Mr. Lipton. How are you, sir? Now, obviously, you taught Bradley Cooper, so coming out onto the red carpet of the Hangover 2 would mean a lot for you as a teacher.
Means I was his dean, in fact. Oh. I'm not a teacher. I was his dean, and I graduated in 2000, and it means the world to me.
Now, in the second movie, this one tonight, there's apparently a lot of penis shots. You handle that as a film lover?
Do I handle the penis?
No. Not actually handle, but you handle watching the penis.
Got you.
Well, if they're willing, I'm willing. I would rather it were a lady, but what the heck?
Yeah.
What are you doing with your career? What are you doing?
Well, this, in fairness, was 9 years ago.
So. Talking to Mr. Lipton like that.
He picked up what I was throwing down.
I'll say he shocked you by his answer.
Yeah.
He went right along with it.
It's the Big Show Year-End Spectacular. Remembering the high points and low points of 2020.
I was just reading an article about there's a whole new genre of porn that's all coronavirus based about, I'm not going to use the words, but very sexy moms in hazmat suits. And I was like, what?
I like that when you say very sexy moms. We all know what you mean.
Yeah, right. But,
very good.
Yeah. So it's crazy. We are just.
Everywhere you look.
We're lemmings. We just follow it all.
Everywhere you look, there's some aspect of this. They have in the building we're in, they now have a guy whose job it is to spray and wipe the doors downstairs when you come in the building.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a relief, actually.
No, I know.
But he's always done that.
I think it's great, but not like they are
now.
Not
as much as they are now.
They have one of those revolving kind of doors where you walk through,
right,
and he's in there going through there and spraying it and all the...
I know, and they have Purell by the elevator banks.
Yeah. It's wise. I mean, it's that simple.
Yesterday, I was getting money out of the ATM, and I was pressing the buttons, and I was like, oh, my God, I just infected my finger. And I'm rubbing my finger all over me. And I'm like, now my clothes are infected.
That's a really good idea.
Wait, lick it off. Wait, no.
Yeah. I'll scratch your eye while you're at it. The guy who won is Ron Joy. He's from Rockland County, and while we were chatting with him, he says, "You and I have something in common." I said, "What's that?" He said, "We're both in the Hall of Fame."
But his is a different one.
I thought maybe he was an old radio DJ, that somebody famous, and he said, "No, it's a different Hall of Fame, right?"
Of course.
Which one are you in?
The White Castle Cravers Hall of Fame.
Yes. And as fate would have it,
Louis, a team member,
also in the same Hall of Fame.
I'm a fellow Hall of Famer. Yes, Ron.
There you go.
So you guys have to submit stories. What was your story, Ron?
We ran the New York City Marathon for a 9/11 charity in 2010. Mm-hmm. And on the way past 102nd Street, I was hungry, and we veered into White Castle. I went to the drive-thru, not knowing that there were no cars there and nobody was helping me. And then I went inside. I had my bib on, and the guy in front of me, he looked at me, and he goes, "You're running the marathon?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You're going to eat this?" I said, "Yeah." He
and
goes,
then
"You're
run?
Not finishing the marathon."
That's great.
Did you finish? Yeah.
Of course I did.
Wow.
All right. That's a silly question, Patty. Well, you're talking to Ron Joy from the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Louis, what did you do to get in?
So I'm a member of the 2008 Hall of Fame. Back in 2007, my best friend Richie moved to Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
So we threw him a party, and we did it in the White Castle parking lot. So we took it over the whole parking lot without asking them, by the way.
Yeah.
We closed off the entrances.
Oh.
We gave out reservations. We had a valet in the front. And we put out the tables in the back.
And they were okay with it?
We ordered three Crave Crates, which is 100 each, 300 burgers.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, 300 burgers. And we just took it. This was all night. Like, we started at midnight.
And put you right in.
I got in.
There you go. What do you get for that? Anything?
A pin.
Okay.
A little lapel pin.
Is there any kind of meeting or get-together coming up, Ron?
Well, I think the 100th year is coming up in a couple of years. I think they should fly us all out to White Castle HQ again.
Yes.
Shooting.
White Castle HQ. Where is that?
Ron,
Ohio. No. Alex Cooper's a member, too.
He is?
Oh.
Yes, he is.
We're an elite group.
They asked him, what's better, being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or the White Castle Hall of Fame? And he looked at Jamie Richardson, who's Mr. White Castle, and he said, "Well, there's really no comparison."
Mr. White Castle.
He's the best guy.
I like Ron. He needs to call more often.
Yeah.
Check in
White Castle segment.
We'll see you later, buddy.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. The White Castle Cravers Hall of Fame.
Who knew?
I don't like to go see movies that are musicals, and not even crazy about Broadway shows. Occasionally I'll, you know, bite my tongue and go see one. But my wife tricked me and a friend, and his wife tricked me and a buddy of mine, got us to go see The Greatest Showman, and they didn't tell us it was a musical.
Well,
I'm sitting there. So,
and who would suspect, because how many musical movies are there?
Yeah. So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking over my friend. He goes, "Oh, damn it. Why didn't they tell us?" And by the way, it turned out to be a great movie.
You loved it.
Remember, the soundtrack stayed on the charts, on the album charts, forever.
Forever. It was crazy.
But,
top of the charts it hit.
The time I actually spent some quality time with him, we both were involved in a celebrity golf tournament out in Long Island at Shinnecock, which is a very prestigious golf course. And it will bring the best golfer. It will humble anyone who plays as crappy as I do. And Hugh Jackman's even worse than me. But he was telling a story about, I've done this before, but it just, because it's his birthday, I'll tell it again. He was in The Boy from Oz, a great Broadway show about the life of Peter Allen, who was a very, very talented Broadway actor who happened to be gay, and he played Peter Allen in this show. And he said it was opening night, and there was a scene where he had to bend this guy over and give him a big, passionate kiss.
Right.
And he had him, he cradled him gently in his arms and bent him over, and he started to kiss him, and some guy in the audience yelled, "Don't do it, Wolverine!" And the place, he said, I almost dropped the guy. He almost dropped him on the stage. But you can imagine him telling that, much funnier than me telling
no.
It's the Big Show Year-End Spectacular Flashback.
Collins kicking out his ex-wife from his mansion in Miami.
It's weird because they were married, they divorced, and then were divorced for what, like 8 years or so?
Yeah, he had that big Dana Tyler relationship.
He was involved with, the news anchor here. I mean, lived with her for all that time. And then he leaves her and goes back to the wife, the ex-wife. I know they didn't get remarried, but I don't think. But they...
Listen, I was talking to my friend Dino recently.
Yes.
And I was warning him.
About his ex-wife?
No, about his search for a girlfriend.
I know, he's 24.
And I was explaining to him that when I was a kid, I was there just a day of reckoning. I realized one day that just because a woman happens to be attractive, or as guys say, she's really hot, they can be just as wacky.
Really? And that's not true with men, huh?
No. Him and I don't have to deal. You know, I never dealt with a guy. I never went out with a guy.
So feel free to say people.
All right.
Just because a person is attractive doesn't make them sane.
It's like I'm in school. I got a school monitor over there watching everything I do.
Well, somebody's got to stand up for us.
I understand that. I appreciate that. Thank you, Patty. Yesterday, the first memo went out. Mm-hmm. And I said, congratulations, Big Show, number one in the morning.
For like the second month in a row.
All categories, congratulations. Even bigger number one than we were last month.
Right.
And then I'm just bouncing around the house happy.
2 hours later.
Just happy. 2 hours, 11 minutes later, I get an update from James Ryan.
I laughed when I saw that email.
Program director. He said, we got a little problem here, and it only affects one show.
Right. No one else. Nobody. Well, actually, two shows, in fairness. Oh, NPR as well.
Well, yeah, but they're not here.
Right.
So what happened is the people at the ratings place, the company, this well-established company.
Huge.
I better not say their name, or I guess I could. But they made a mistake, and they forgot to include headphone listeners. They just learned how to do that. They just came up with that idea. They found out.
I'd like to know more about it. I don't know how they do that, but
well, I don't think they're going to tell us. No. A couple of yo-yo DJs. But so they said there's been a slight change, but it only affects one station. There's got to be 60 morning shows in New York City.
And in fairness, it really only affects you, not me.
What do you mean?
I'm kidding.
You're in there, too. So they said because of the fact we forgot to compute in the number of people listening with headphones, mm-hmm. It's a new deal they just came up with. They're so proud of themselves over there. And they said it's only affecting, it's not going to make a lot of difference. Only one show is affected, and it's this show.
Right.
We fell from number one to number two.
By a tenth of a point.
One-tenth of a point, because the people who listen to NPR have headphones. So who gets the big green weenie? Us. How about that?
Oh,
2 hours,
Lord.
11 minutes after we were celebrating, all of a sudden, I got a congratulatory note from my friend Broadway Bill Lee.
Oh, yes, and we were mentioned in the sales meeting about it.
Yeah, big deal, very happy. Whoop, wait a minute. So anyway, congratulations to the NPR. I don't even know who the hell's on in the morning at NPR.
Okay, well.
I mean, I know Elvis.
I don't need to add to this, so I won't say.
Yeah, you know, probably. Anyway, because you snoop buckets, you know all that stuff over there. You know, probably know people who listen with headphones.
I do.
Yep, I knew it. Shannon in the Morning Radio Show, number one with people who don't wear headphones. I can't believe that. That was crazy. That was one of the weirdest days of my radio career yesterday. You're number one. Whoop, no, you're not.
Because people that wear headphones aren't listening to you.
They're listening to
They're only listening to NPR.
Brad Blanks checks in this morning. Morning, Bradley.
Hey, Scott, Patty. I love it, Scott. You got a recount. Yeah, you got to remember, last week was big for NPR. It was the Jeffrey Toobin incident. Everyone was tuning in.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, he worked there, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. You were Toobinized. You were Toobinized last week.
Tubinated.
Yeah.
Tugging with Toobin. That's what got me.
I don't know how they count it. Do they, like, run over and pull your headphones off and listen to what you're listening to? I'm not sure how they count.
Who knows? I got tugged by Toobin. That's the deal.
Christmas!
The big show is on.
Thank you.
with the 2020 year-end spectacular. The best. And the worst of 2020.
I like her karaoke show.
I love her stuff.
She comes on. You know what I thought about last night?
What did you think about?
I find, do you know her? You have any connections with
Kelly Clarkson? Yeah. Best friends. No, I don't know her.
I don't know how to get a hold of her. I don't know how to get a hold of her now. She's got a TV show.
You're Scott Shannon. You could reach out.
I don't think so. Well, anyway, what I was thinking, I was talking to this guy last night who is a friend of Joan Jett's. In fact, he manages her. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if she sang, "I hate myself for loving you"? I hate myself for loving you. Wouldn't it be great?
You got to call
her
up.
What do you think, Dino?
I would love it.
Tell her you're the number two morning guy in New York City.
I'm not coming on the number two. Call me when you're number one. I'm going on NPR.
I'm
going
to go on NPR and do karaoke.
I'm going to do karaoke on NPR. We have the official karaoke license. So I don't know if she can get on NPR, but if she could, she would. I just got a note from Sue. I have no idea.
No idea the movie?
She didn't know what the movie is.
Okay, well, Pam from New Hyde Park knows exactly what movie it is.
Hey,
hi, Pam.
That was Halloween.
Halloween.
The original.
Listen to her.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, if I have a party, as soon as this thing's over, I'll have a party at my house and have her over.
No kidding. 7:30 on a rainy morning and she's alive.
For entertainment purposes. Pam, calm down a little bit now.
Okay.
Have you been up all night?
No, I haven't. I'm just all getting ready and I'm going to be at work in a half an hour.
There you go.
You're the belle of the ball at that place.
I'll say.
All right, Pammy, you got the $50 Amazon gift card.
That's so wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You have a great weekend, all right?
You too, and happy Halloween.
She's like Patty, a fun house.
Patty, I smell a podcast right there.
I know, right?
She needs
20
to be
minutes
on your
of
podcast.
Laughter.
Christmas! The big show is on. Thank you. With the 2020 year-end spectacular. The best. And the worst of 2020.
This is not a day when you want to be involved in a traffic accident.
No.
I live in fear of that.
Are there days that you would like to be involved in one?
Well, if it's a nice sunny day and somebody
a little bump,
you,
what the heck, right?
Yeah, that's not so bad. But I live in fear. It happened to me one time when I was working in Atlanta, Georgia. I always dreamed of having a Corvette.
Uh-huh.
Because when I was a kid, a guy that I knew, his dad was a big wrestling promoter in the Midwest.
And you were so jealous.
He'd come by my street and I have my bicycle. He'd go, "Nice ride, Shannon." He had his arm outside the Corvette. He had a beautiful.
I can see him. I can see it in my mind. Yeah. I can't imagine what this guy.
We're the same age, and I'm riding a Schwinn, and he's got a Corvette. I'm going
slick
like this.
Back hair. He's a hot shot.
Well, I get to be a DJ, you jackass. So I always wanted to get. So I finally got a used Corvette. First one. I was a DJ in Atlanta, Georgia. On Quixie and Dixie, that's the name of the station. And I'm going on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's pouring rain, and this lady turns in front of me.
Right.
On Peachtree Avenue, I'm going back. I went out and got a sandwich. I'm coming back to get on the air. I can't wait. It's a Friday, and it's pouring rain. This lady just makes a left turn in front of me.
Slams
headed
you.
For the church parking lot, and my Corvette hits it. And for some reason, I mean, I knew the car was made out of plastic.
Fiberglass, yeah.
Fiberglass. But the whole front end just disintegrated.
Oh, my Lord.
It was about 4 or 5 years. It wasn't old enough to be cool, but it was an older car.
Right.
And the whole front end's just laying in the street. And I
aww,
get out of the
I don't
car,
mean to laugh.
And
but...
I am, I'm in a rain's coming down. It's pouring. And I couldn't stop because it was slick. I uttered a few curse words her
you
way.
You did?
I lost my temper. I'm sorry. I got out. I was cross between being furious and crying.
Was it her fault? Totally her
yeah,
fault?
Yeah, she turned right in front of me. I'm going straight. She turned in front of me. Thought she could, you know, get
oh, I
there.
See. So she was on the other side of you. and then turned across.
Right. Turned right across.
Okay. Sorry. Well, and my car, she deserved those words.
My car disintegrated, so I utter a tip. What the? You think you're like that? So I see the police officer come up. There happened to be a cop going by. And the police officer goes, then he just ignores me in my car and goes, sister, are you all right? I went, oh, my God.
Did you not see that she was a nun?
Well, she wasn't dressed.
How did he know?
A nun.
How did he know? He just knew her?
She is a her driving, and she knows the sister. She patrols that area. Okay. And I just got through cursing out a nun. I'm going like this. I'm definitely going to hell.
You think that was the first moment you knew you were going to hell?
That was it right there. That was the first moment I realized. I swear to God. And the police officer acted like it was my fault. What are you doing running into Sister Mary? I said, she pulled right in front of me.
And then the cop said what? Tough.
Well, let me look into it. And she basically ignored me to make sure the sister was okay.
Well, yeah, anyway,
make sure that's why okay. I don't like that. That's why I drive very carefully when it's raining.
Did this man traumatize you, sister?
That's about how she acted. It's two against one. Am I wrong about this, Brad? Is she the hottest bachelorette in your opinion, or am I just crazy?
Oh, not the hottest. Yeah, she's all right. She's good.
All right. I thought she's pretty hot.
Very attractive. Right. What did Sister Mary look like when you ran into her? Was she an attractive nun?
No, she was not. You don't have to bring that up.
She was a bachelorette, though. It won't give you that.
You know what? She was in civvies. How am I supposed to know she didn't have her habit on? That's not my fault.
You're just throwing F-bombs at her, the poor woman.
Well, she was turning right into the church parking lot there, so I guess that's where she worked. All right, Brad, that's it. What's the new bachelorette's name?
Sister Taishia.
She's beautiful.
You're not a sister.
She's beautiful. Yes, yeah, she is.
All right, my friend. Happy birthday. A couple buds of mine, Hank Callum Jr., celebrating his today, and Carl Heinz Muir. Today's his birthday.
He's I like that name. Petty. It's very Karl-Heinz Muir.
Oh, he's from Austria. He's something else.
Well, there
he's
you go. It's a beautiful
he's
name.
He's a piece of work. It's funny, the first time I ran into him, I said, we were playing golf, I said, should I call you Carl or call you Heinz? He says, my name is Karl-Heinz. That's what you can call me.
Karl-Heinz.
He said, if you're from the South, it's like Mary Lou.
Okay. That's cute.
That made me laugh. If you're from the South, just think of Mary Lou.
Carl Hans.
That's his name.
It's the Big Show year-end spectacular flashback.
Checking in on the Big Show hotline today, the incredible Bradley Blanks.
Scott, Patty, how you doing? I hope your Halloween weekend was good. Mine was pretty wild. You know, my daughters essentially made a YouTube makeup tutorial on my forehead. And turned me into Frankenstein. Well, some people thought I looked like Shrek. So it was a very confusing look I had, as you can see on my Instagram.
It's cute.
There wasn't a lot of makeup work needed, was there?
Thank you. Yeah, don't
worry. That's nice. That's nice.
You know,
a lot of my friends in Australia teased me about that as well, Scott. This is an improvement. One person called me Kelsey Grammer as Nelly Dead, was one of the lines someone wrote on my Instagram comments.
I just mentioned this earlier in the show, but as you know, Mets fans are very excited. They're beside themselves because Steve Cohen took over as the new owner. And they said the deal will close in the next 10 days. And they said, then I'm off and running. But here's something kind of different for the Mets. Steve says, I'd love to hear your ideas on how to make your Mets experience better.
Wow.
That's all he had to do was open the Twitter lines, man. I got to tell you. One guy said, you've already done it by buying the team. Steve goes, nah, we can do more than that. How about that?
That's great.
One fan said he was barred from all Mets facilities in 2016 for tweeting about Jeff Wilpon in jest and poor taste. He said he was banned for life.
Wow.
Cohen says, we need to fix that. I'll take care of that myself. This guy will
He's
be
gonna
back
bring
in
him
there,
back,
I'm
of
telling
course.
You. Yeah. Now, the biggest fan on the show here is Louie, who's been a Mets fan since long before I met him, but his
little boy.
Allegiance to the Mets is incredible. Have you taken time to send a tweet to Mr. Cohen yet?
Of course I have. I actually photoshopped his picture on the Game of Thrones chair and sent it to him and said he's the new king of New York. So
I knew it.
Did you ask him what he could do for you? What did you say?
My first request was to make the bobbleheads more available to everybody, because the other owners would only give about 15,000 away when the Mets fit about 40,000. So you have to wait in line for 2 hours. And, you know, it's hot out, 90 degrees in the middle of the summer. I said, can you just not do that anymore? Can you just make sure we get all our bobbleheads? We'll be happy with that.
Have you heard back from him yet?
Not yet. He has about 4,000 requests on that Twitter.
Oh, okay. I got you.
He's working on them, Scott.
Yeah, one at a time.
Right.
I would imagine he's got somebody to screen those out.
You think?
Then he's gonna respond to somebody. Yeah, he's got
honestly,
like.
Honestly, I don't think so. I think he's gonna look at him himself. He's such a big fan. This is such a treat for us. He's gonna look at them all.
He's got 22,000 followers as of I think Sunday morning.
No, it's up to 40. It went from 2,000 to 40,000 over the weekend.
Oh my God. Yep. He says, my family and I are lifelong Mets fans, so we're very excited about this. You got free agency starting Sunday night, so he's going to have to open up that pocketbook a little bit there. See, the smart thing he did, unlike the Wilpons, he didn't get involved with Bernie Madoff.
No.
Cohen's a little smarter than those people, so he's I better stay away from that. That's too good to be true.
He's the richest owner in all of sports. Yeah. So.
Is he really?
Yep.
Wow.
$18 billion, according to Forbes.
By the time he gets through with free agency, that'll be down $1 billion, I would imagine. All right, Lewis. Good luck getting answered on your tweet there.
I'm waiting. I'm just going to keep refreshing until he responds.
I'm sure he will. He listens. You know, he doesn't listen every day, but I do know he listens to the show once in a while. So hopefully he's up and all excited about Mets Mets. And I'm sure something will happen for you.
Christmas!
The big show is on. Thank you. With the 2020 year-end spectacular. The best.
The best.
And the worst of 2020.
Back to China. I've had them in a couple of stories this morning. A big, famous Chinese tech firm is in hot water. A lot of controversy because they've installed timers above the toilet cubicles to check out how long the staff members are taking in the bathroom.
What?
Some of them are hiding in there, I guess. It's scary.
Or they're on social media.
No, they're not. I don't think they're on social media.
Oh, really?
But they're just timing
No one ever's on social media in the bathroom.
There's no cameras in there. They have timers. But it's so funny because it reminded me when I was a kid, I left my home, my parents, when I was 17. Mm-hmm. Even then, I wanted to be on the radio. So I figured, well, I can't do that living in this house. I got to get out of here, get on my own. 17
years old.
Yeah,
be a cool guy.
I had about $45 in my pocket, an old beat-up car, and bam, off I went. Mm-hmm. So I wind up in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Oh, big
metropolis.
I thought,
well, I bet you I could get a job there. I couldn't even get into a radio station to interview. So I thought, you know, I just thought wanting it and wishing and having this passion to do it would get me a job.
Sure. Does eventually.
Not when you're 17, I found out.
No, but I mean, it's a component of success, that's for sure.
Then I realized that unless I do something else at that time, I was going to starve to death. And I'd be living in my car. So I found a job at Oscar's Bakery.
Okay.
I've been there for like 80 years. Mm-hmm. And there was an old, I don't know where he was from. I think he was from I'm thinking Poland or somewhere. He had that kind of accent, you know.
Eastern European accent,
Eastern European. So I was in there, but the only job that was open was the all-night shift. Mm-hmm. So I had to come to work at midnight.
Wow.
Can you imagine that, Dino, coming to work?
That sounds crazy.
I had to go to work at midnight and make the donuts because the people would come, you know, it's a huge bakery,
right.
But there's only one bathroom in the place.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, I'd go out, and if anybody that's worked the all-night shift, it's hard to have a regular life.
Mm-hmm.
Where you sleep when you get off, or you sleep before you go to work. Right. You know, I'm out with some buddies that I met there in Arkansas. So what would happen is I'd take a little break and go in the men's room there. Well, there was just one bathroom. One night I actually fell asleep sitting on the toilet.
Did you burn the donuts?
No, but I heard that. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing there? They're screaming at me. Oscar fired me.
Aww.
I lasted like 5 months.
Aww.
I thought you were hiding in there.
See, he needed a timer. I guess he was a timer himself.
Yeah, see, you needed a timer like the Chinese firm does now. And I was fired at 4 o'clock in the morning. What do you do? You
go. Where am I going now?
I get my little old beat-up blue car, and I drive back to the little cabin I was staying in. I'm saying, what the hell did I do to my life?
It's the Big Show Year-End Spectacular. Remembering the high points and low points of 2020.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.